of James. James, this has nothing to do with you this morning. Nothing. I mean, I picked on you a little bit this morning. Sharon's going to get on me later, and I'm sure. But Book of James, chapter 1. James, chapter 1. As we stand at the precipice of 2017, we look at 2016 and all its grandeur and its glory, its failings, its successes. I want us to look as we stand at 2017, as we always do, when we come to a new year. And I want to ask you a question. This coming year, are you going to be constructive for the Lord, or are you going to be destructive? Are you going to be constructive or destructive? Now, please, please, please understand. You're going to be one or the other. One or the other you are going to be. You're either going to be constructive for the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, or you are going to be destructive. Well, hold on a second, Brother Kyle. I'm a Christian. I'm a Christian. Christians are not destructive for the Lord. Oh, really? Really? I promise you, listen, this year, in the coming year, let's just fast forward to 2018. I know some of y'all are like, man, 2016 went fast enough. Fast forward to 2018, we are back in this sanctuary, and I'm asking you to reflect over 2017. Some of you are going to be, when I ask the question next year, you're going to say, man, I really blew it in 2017. But you don't have to. You absolutely do not have to. Right now, as we stand on the very first day of 2017, I am telling you, each and every one of you, you are either going to be a success for the Lord this coming year like never before, or you're going to blow it. You're going to blow it. So are you going to be constructive this year or destructive this year? Do you know, and this isn't even in my notes, this is, I'm giving you extra material if you want to write this down. I'm not going to charge you any extra for it. Listen, if you are destructive, it's nobody's fault but your own. God wants you to be constructive. He really does. He has your life planned out this year. All you have to do is submit to Him. He knows exactly what you're supposed to do, where you're supposed to be every day this year, and what you're supposed to be doing. All you have to do is submit to Him. Amen? I received an email from a friend who is not, listen to me, is not a believer some time ago, and he seemed to be intrigued with some newly released scientific study, probably because he was a scientist, that showed, listen to me, that people who have faith have more self-control. Vicki, I don't know if this applies to you. Now, let me say this again. People who have faith have more self-control. Here's a partial, you know, from the article from the New York Times. It says, we simply asked if there was good evidence that people who are more religious have more self-control. That's all they asked. That's all they wanted to know. When you add it all up, it turns out that there are remarkably consistent findings with Christianity, how Christianity correlates with higher self-control. As early as the 1920s, researchers found that students who spent more time, listen, in Sunday school did better at laboratory tests measuring self-discipline. Y'all hear that? Sunday school. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but how many of y'all were in Sunday school this morning? You want more self-control? Lord Jesus, I nearly shot that person. I slammed brakes for me. I need some more self-control. Go to Sunday school. That woman who took the last head of lettuce and I was grabbing for it, Lord, I nearly kicked her feet out from under and slapped her, Lord. I need self-control. Go to Sunday school. I mean, listen, New York Times said it. It's got to be the truth, right? Our media doesn't lie, do they? Listen, subsequent studies showed that the religiously devout children are rated relatively low in impulsiveness by both parents and teachers. and that Christianity reportedly correlated with higher self-control among adults. Now, my point number one, listen, point number one, please notice I said most, not all. Okay? Most. This doesn't apply to all Christians. And listen, it surely doesn't apply to all people who call themselves Christians. Okay? This is, you know, just a survey. Now, understand this. There are distinct advantages of having self-control. Now remember, listen to me. Are you going to be constructive or destructive for the Lord this coming year? Now wake up. I'm not going to keep you long this morning. Are you going to be constructive or destructive for the Lord this coming year? Now, there are distinct advantages of not or of having self-control. Listen to me. Losing control oftentimes causes you to lose your testimony. Y'all know what I'm talking about, don't you? I mean, this past week, y'all went to work, and boy, I'm going to tell you, we had a great time. It was Christmas time, and you had a baby Jesus manger out in your front yard, and you wore your cross around your neck, and you told people about how wonderful the services were this past Sunday, and we had the Lord's Supper, and you raised your hand when we sang the praise and worship. Y'all, you were just filled with the Spirit of God, and listen, the boss came around and told you had to work extra hours, and you accidentally let a couple words slip. You lost your self-control. You know, that quick, Reagan's smiling. Reagan, that happened to you? Okay, I'm just checking. Hey, listen, that quickly, you can lose your testimony with people that you work around, that you live around. What is it? Self-control. Self-control has a lot to do with whether we're going to be constructive or destructive in 2017. Listen to this. Lack of self-control oftentimes causes us to be isolated from friends and family. I had a family member. I'm going to tell y'all, I'm not going to say who it is, but it was a very close family member. Nobody wanted to be around this person. They did not want to be around this person. Do you know why? They had no self-control. I mean, listen, this person could be, oh, man, good to see you. How you doing? I mean, 1 second, and the next second, I mean, they've just gone off. They go from 0 to 150 in like 30 seconds. I mean, they go from kind and just courteous to off-the-wall bouncing, crazy, straight jacket, and bouncing walls. I mean, what? No self-control. None. Deborah, this message is not about Donald. I mean, you're looking there concerned. It's not. I'm not slipping, and Donald's not related to me. That was not talking about Donald, although it kind of vaguely does apply. But listen to this. Lack of self-control labels a person in the community. Did y'all know that? Do you know? Listen to me. People watch you. You might think, listen, I live in the farms, or I live in Georgetown, or I live in Richmond Hill, or wherever you live. People watch you. They know who you are. And if you go from 0 to 150 and you're crazy, they look at you and they see that bumper sticker on the back of your car. I love Chevis Oaks Baptist Church. Yep, these crazy people at Chevis Oaks Baptist Church. Self-control. Here's another one. Lack of self-control hurts the cause of Christ and the kingdom of God. Did you realize that? How many of y'all realize that? It really does. Listen to this. Lack of self-control labels this church. Lack of self-control labels this church. Do you know that there may be people in this community who say, I'm not going to the Chevis Oaks Baptist Church because they're there. I know the people of that congregation. I know who goes there. And if they go there, I know God can't show up. Really? I mean, That's crazy to say, but it's the truth. There are people who may not come to this church because you're here. Self-control. So what in the world do we do? What in the world do we need to do about this subject of self-control? Church, we need to understand right now that we are either going to be constructive or destructive in our lives, our homes, our families, on the job, in the church, on our daily walk for the Lord this year. Are you going to be constructive? Or are you going to be destructive? Now, do you really think, I'm getting ready to get in the meat of the message. Y'all, don't be looking at your watches. I know. Listen. Do you really think when God needs to send someone to help someone in need, he's ever going to say, hey, let's send her. She is so negative. And listen, she is the most negative person I've ever seen in my life. Listen, that person needs somebody positive. Let's send negative Nancy over there too. Do you think God says that? Absolutely. Lord Jesus, please use me. I want to feel your presence. I want to know that you're near. I want to know that I'm a vessel used by you. Well, act like one. Listen, he's not going to send you if you're constantly negative and you're very impulsive. Listen to this. Do you think that God is going to send somebody who says nothing ever good about anybody? No. He wants to use someone who is not impulsive. God can use anybody. Amen? He can use anybody anywhere they are. Church, do you really think that God is going to use you if you're negative? Now, let's face two facts right now. Number one, no self-control. If you have no self-control, most likely you're going to be destructive. If you have no self-control, most likely you're going to be destructive. Okay? I mean, you're just a loose cannon. I know some of y'all are. I've talked to your husbands. Number two, let's look at self-control. Self-control, you are apt to be constructive. You have great potential. If you have self-control. Now, church, how can we be constructive? How in the world can we be constructive? Do you want to know? Anybody want to know? I've got the solution. It's not me. It's the Word of God. How in the world can we be constructive? Let's look at James chapter 1, and we're going to start in verse 16. James chapter 1, verse 16. James 1, 16. Don't be deceived, my dearly beloved brothers. Every generous act and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights. With him there is no variation or shadow cast by turning. By his own choice, he gave us a new birth by the message of truth, so that we would be the first fruits of his creatures. My dearly loved brothers, understand this. Everyone must be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. Let's read the verse 19. Some of y'all need to take this. This needs to be your life verse for this coming year. Y'all listen. Verse 19. My dearly loved brothers, understand this. Everyone must be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. For man's anger does not accomplish God's righteousness. Therefore, ridding yourselves of all moral filth and evil excesses, humbly receive the implanted word, which is able to save you. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Because if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man looking at his own face in a mirror. For he looks at himself, goes away, and right away forgets what kind of man he was. But the one who looks intently into the perfect law of freedom and preserves in it and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer who acts like a person like this person will be blessed in what he does. If anyone thinks he is religious without controlling his I almost want y'all to grab your tongue. Listen to this. If anyone, that's us, right? If anyone thinks he is religious without controlling his tongue, but is deceiving his heart, his religion is, what does that say, y'all? Useless. Not productive. So that means it's what? Destructive. Verse 27. Pure and undefiled religion before our God and Father is this: to look after orphans and widows and their distress, and keep oneself unstained of the world. Let's pray. Father, we love you and we praise you. We pray that you would be with us, open our minds as we go through this scripture this morning. In Jesus' name I do pray. And all God's children said, amen. Listen, I don't be worried. I didn't have a long introduction, and I'm going to preach for an hour and a half now. Some of y'all are worried. I mean, don't be worried. Here we go. How to be constructive in 2017. James, the half-brother of Jesus, has a lot to say about religious people. If you read through the book of James, and I know some of y'all, this is your favorite book, James has a lot to say about religious people. We say we're religious people, right? This book might be constructive for us to go through this year and just break down. We say that we're religious. Religion will send a man where? Without Jesus, that's right. So James has a lot to say about religion. Verse 17 says that all our gifts, guess what, come from God. And His light dispels all shadows. If we are to walk forward this coming year and we want to be constructive, we need to understand where our gifts come from. And it's not us. I wasn't born May 3rd, 1970, with a crown on my head, a silver spoon in my mouth, and the ability to do all things by myself. Listen, I was saved on January the 19th of 1989, and when Christ saved me, He saved me from the top of my head to the tips of my toes, and listen, He has been making me progressively into the person that I am. I didn't become perfect, and I'm not going to be perfect until I take this last breath on earth and the first breath in heaven. Then I will experience perfection. You think I'm good looking now? Just wait till I get to heaven. Verse 18 tells us that Christians are God's third choice. Is that what your Bible says? I know we all have different versions in here. What does your version say? First. Listen, verse 18 tells us that Christians are God's first fruits. And we were created, listen, y'all, to display His glory to every creature. Mark, that almost sounds like what I've been preaching through the Christmas message, doesn't it? God was upset in the book of Malachi because the Hebrew children were not making His name great amongst the nations, and they weren't glorifying His name. He's saying, that's fine. Hey, that's fine. You don't want to do it? Just sit back and watch this. And He brought His Son to the earth. And His Son, all His Son ever did was make His name great amongst the nation and glorify the name of God. But listen, Scripture tells us, James reminds us this morning that we were created to be the first fruits, to do what Jesus did our whole life, to glorify the name of God and make His name great amongst the nations. God created us for that. Now, I know what we're supposed to do and what we're supposed to be, but how can I be that which God wants me to be? I know you're asking that question, aren't you? How in the world can I be that which God wants me to be? Listen to this. Do you know that it's my prayer here at this church? God help me to be what you want me to be here at the church, Chevis Oaks Baptist Church. You know what I did? I got myself out of the way. We got to get ourselves out of the way, church. We've got to understand that we aren't good enough. We haven't made it. Well, I've studied enough. I've read enough. I've done enough. No, you haven't. Listen, you've got to get into the Word. You've got to get back on your knees. You've got to retrieve that relationship with the Lord. If you're going to be constructive and not destructive this year, you've got to mend those fences. Amen? Now, understand this. You have to take out you out of the equation. Your will, your desire, and your wants are not necessary to do what God wants you to do. They're not necessary. Listen, you have to desire to be constructive. Do you really want to be constructive in 2017? Is that your desire, to do more than you've ever done for the Lord? Well, if it is, listen, let's look at what verse 19 says. Verse 19 says this. It says, "My dearly loved brothers, understand this. Everyone must be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger." He gives us three things here. If we want to be great, if we want to be constructive for the Lord, he gives us three little remedies right here. Number one, he says, be swift to hear. Be swift to hear. Do you realize that a lot of times when I get a call, you know, somebody's in need, you know, somebody's in the hospital, something's happened. Do you know when I arrive on the scene and I give the person a hug and maybe give them a kiss on the cheek? A lot of times, the greatest part of my ministry is not what I say. It's not even what I do. Do you know what it is? Just listening. Just listening. Let the people talk. Just listen to what they have to say. Church, people want you to care. And if you don't listen, how can you care? So, first of all, James tells us, be swift to hear. Slowly, secondly, he says, slow to speak. Does that sound like any of us? I'm guilty. Well, hold on a second. Let me tell you what I think. You know, God could care less what we have to think. Really, I mean, he covers every topic, does he not? Thoroughly. Without us, he doesn't need our help. He says, be slow to speak. Sometimes you do not have to speak at all. But think about what you say when you do speak. When you say things, you cannot take them back, and they always get heard by the person that you don't want to hear. Be slow to speak. Church, there are so many times where I come home and I just bury my head in my wife's chest or her shoulders, and she'll say, "What's wrong?" And I said, "I stuck my foot in my mouth again." Any of y'all ever done that? Gene, I know you have. It's all right, sweetie. Miss Shirley, I know you have. Golly. Vicky, golly. Be slow to speak. What does that mean? You step back. Before you say what you say, just step back and think about what you're about to say. Because you can't take it back. He says this, thirdly, he says, be slow to wrath. Be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. Now, how many of y'all have ever heard this? Somebody does something to you. Ricky, I know this doesn't happen in the car business. Somebody does something to you, and this is what you say. This is what you say. I'm going to fix them. I'm going to fix them. I'm going to get them. Hey, listen, I'm going to tell that person how I feel. I'm going to blow that person's doors off. Does that ever happen in the emergency room, Lorraine? Look at her. She goes, yeah. Jesse, don't say a word, son. Just sit there. No, don't say anything. Why not? Church, listen to me. This is a novel idea. I mean, this is crazy. Y'all might want to form another pulpit committee after I say this. Listen to me. Why not, instead of you fixing it, why don't you let God fix it? Why don't you let God fix it? Listen, God is much better at disciplining people than we could ever be. I'm going to write a letter. And this is one of my favorites. I hadn't gotten one of these yet, but I know what's coming. Y'all hear me? I'm going to write an anonymous letter. Sick of that preacher. I'm going to write an anonymous letter. I'm going to slide it under his door. I'm going to let him know how I feel. Well, listen, I want y'all to understand, when I get letters that are slid under my door, and I have from time to time, the first thing I do is I look at who addresses the letter that slid under the preacher's door. And I'll say, oh, okay, well, that's from Vicky. I don't want to read that. Nah. I'll look at who wrote the letter, and then I'll decide, okay, I need to read this letter. But if I look at that letter and I open that letter up and I see three pages of, I mean, it's you know, looks like it's good stuff. But I look at the very back and it says, anonymous. You know what I do immediately with it? I ball it in the trash and I throw it away. Because if you don't have the audacity, you know, if you have the audacity to write an anonymous letter, I'm not going to read it. If you don't have the gumption to put your name on it, it's not worth reading. Amen? Now, again, I haven't received one of those yet. Thank you, Lord. In 5 years from Chevy Oaks Baptist Church, watch, this week I'm going to get five or six of them. It's going to be like a Valentine's Day. I'm not going to, underneath the preacher's door. Now, verse 20 tells us this. It says, your wrath does not bring God's righteousness. Look at verse 20. Verse 20 says this. I'm just about done. Verse 20 says this. It says, for man's anger does not accomplish God's righteousness. What does that mean? You get mad for nothing. You get mad for nothing. Now, listen, guys, you can still get mad at your wife, and wives, you can still get mad at your wife. I'll be your husband, okay? That's fine. You can still do that. But a wrath that is destructive, outside against other people, Scripture said it accomplishes nothing. Nothing. It just makes you feel good for a couple seconds, and then it's, you know, you're destructive. Church, we are to be a doer of God's word and not just a hearer. Verse 21 and verse 22 tell us that. Listen to what it says. It says this. It says, therefore, ridding yourselves of all moral filth and evil excess, humbly receive the implanted word, which is able to save you. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Now, summing everything up, James next tells us the potential blessings, warnings, and evidences of actual being constructive Christians. Here we are. This is it. I'm drawing the net in. Listen to me. Do you want to be a constructive Christian? Do you want to make a difference this year coming as we move forward in 2017? Listen, what comes from being a constructive Christian? Being constructive. Right now, Lord, I'm going to be constructive. What comes from being a constructive Christian? Verse 25 tells us, but the one who looks intently into the perfect law of freedom and preserves it, and it is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer who acts, this person will be blessed in what he does. Brother Kyle, I don't feel like I'm ever blessed. Read verse 25 again. Listen, what warnings come from being destructive? Are there any warnings from being destructive? Well, yeah, look at verse 26. If anyone thinks he is religious without controlling his tongue, that means you are able to control your tongue. You just don't. Listen, if anyone thinks he is religious without controlling his tongue, but deceiving his heart, his religion is what? Useless. There's your warning. There's your warning right there. Listen to this. What evidences are there to show that you're trying to be a constructive Christian and not a destructive Christian? Now, this was put here for you throughout the year to go back, Mark, and say, okay, this is your litmus test. Am I doing it or am I not doing it? Brother Kyle asked me at the very beginning of the year, Gary, you know, am I being constructive or am I being destructive? If you'll look at verse 27, verse 27 will tell you throughout the year whether you're being constructive or destructive. Listen, verse 27 says this. Pure and undefiled religion before our God and Father is this. To look after orphans, widows, and their distress, and keep oneself unstained by the world. How can I know that I'm living up to the standard that James is setting here? How can I know that I'm being constructive and not destructive? Number one, do you visit those who are in need? I mean, really, it very seldom does a day go by that God doesn't put somebody on my heart to call. Just yesterday, I was driving home from up here. I think I started thinking about Miss Shirley. Miss Shirley's laid out of church the past couple weeks, and I said, you know, I need to call Miss Shirley. No, she's been sick. So I called Miss Shirley. I'm not elevating myself or putting myself on a shelf. Listen, if God puts somebody on your heart, don't set them to the side. Contact them right now. Amen? Number two, don't let the world, don't look like the world looks. Don't look like the world looks. How many of y'all watched the crystal ball drop last night on what is it, Dick Clark's Rockin' New Year's Eve? Any of y'all see that? I watched the last 5 minutes of it or so. I just don't understand. I think Dick Clark would be, he'd go crazy if he saw what it has turned into. I didn't know half of them people. I couldn't understand half of what they were saying. And I really didn't understand five men standing on a stage with a cheetah robe on, all right? I was kind of worried about that. Kind of scared about some of it. Didn't look right. You know why it didn't look right? Because it wasn't right. We don't need to look like the world. Ricky, I'm not going to come up here and preach with a cheetah robe on next Sunday morning. I'm not going to do. Huh? I'm just not. Angie, it's not that funny. I don't own anything that's cheetah. Don't want to own anything that's cheetah. See, don't act like the world acts. It's not that hard. Number four, don't react like the world acts. Reacts. Are you going to be constructive or destructive in 2017? Church, in short, listen, just about done. In short, if you are a Christian, if you call yourself a Christian, you need to understand something. By saying so and doing so, you are a blood-bought child of the King. Act like what He did for you actually means something to you. Act like what He did for you actually means something to you. That's all we have to do. I mean, this scripture is wonderful, but I mean, that's all you have to do is act like what Jesus did for you means something to you. Church, 2017 is a new year. It does not matter what you once were. Listen, what are you going to do this year? Church, are you going to be a constructive Christian or a destructive Christian? God's given you everything you need to be a constructive Christian. It's all up to you. What are you going to be? Let's all stand. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Lord, we love You. We say it with our mouth, it's so easy to say. But God, our actions and our attitudes, our reactions show the world something different. Lord, right now as we stand on this precipice of 2017, we can either be constructive for You, be a vessel of clay in Your hands, or Lord, we can be destructive. Help us not to be destructive. There's enough destructive Christians in this world. Help us, Lord, not to be destructive, but to be instruments in Your hand of goodwill and love to all people. Lord, be with us during this time of invitation. In Jesus' name I do pray. With all heads bowed and all eyes closed, do you need to come?